It's also important for people to know why we breathe. So we don't breathe because we need more oxygen. The reason we breathe is because we can't tolerate the CO2 that's in our lungs. So our urge to breathe actually comes from an intolerance to CO2 as opposed to a desire for more oxygen. So you can actually dramatically slow down your exhales, and if you're wearing a pulse oximeter, you're gonna notice that there's no change in your O2 saturation. So you can actually do CO2 tolerance increasing exercises like nose plugs when you're going for a walk, or practice slowing down your exhale, or you can do Ujjayi breath, which is a breathing technique that slows down the exhale.
If you haven't done so already, go ahead and click that subscribe button down below. It's a little red button. You punch that and it's gonna notify you every time we put out a new episode that can help you improve your bone health. And then also, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for the free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. That's gonna walk you through everything you need to be doing right now to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. After you do those two things, go ahead and press play on this episode and I'll see you inside. Welcome to this episode of The Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore how to create universal health and the importance of your breath and how it can be a powerful tool in healing is Sachin Patel. Sachin Patel is a father, husband, philanthropist, functional medicine practice, success coach, speaker, author, and breathwork facilitator, and plant medicine advocate. Sachin is convinced that the doctor of the future is the patient, and he has committed himself to helping others raise their consciousness, activate their inner doctor, and initiate their deepest healing through the use of lifestyle and breathwork. Sachin founded the Living Proof Institute, through which he pioneered a revolutionary approach to patient-centered healthcare. Sachin coaches hundreds of practitioners around the world so that they are empowered to deliver affordable and inspired care to their communities through his Perfect Practice Mentorship Program. He's an advocate of transforming the healthcare paradigm, and he has devoted his life to the betterment of healthcare for both patients and practitioners. And I have known Sachin now for a few years, and he has been just an amazing resource in my own personal and spiritual journey. And he's just an amazing person as well. Sachin, thank you so much for being here.
Kevin, it is truly an honor, and I've been looking forward to this day for a long time. So thank you for hosting me, and thank you for building such an amazing platform that serves so many people.
I'm looking forward to this conversation. So let's touch on let's get into your background a little bit and how you even came to the place that you're at now, where you're teaching all of these other practitioners to help better their own patients' lives.
Well, thank you. So I actually started off as a chiropractor working with elite athletes, Olympians, power lifters, baseball players. And one day I was featured on the news. And as a result of that, we had, literally dozens and dozens of people calling the office, all of which none of them had any soft tissue injuries. They came in with crippling health conditions that I really had no idea how to help. And around that same time, I started getting what I would now consider spam emails, but thankfully I did. I started getting emails from Dr. Ron Grisanti, and he was sharing case studies of how he was helping all of these people that I was unfortunately having to turn away because I didn't have the tools to help them, but neither did their doctors, right? So these people had seen multiple specialists and they were still suffering and struggling. So when I learned about functional medicine, I started applying it to myself. And so my persistent chronic issues went away, like digestive issues, like joint achiness and stiffness in the morning, inflammation in my body. I used to dread waking up because I would say I'm not a morning person because I would just wake up so stiff in the morning and I would dread that first half hour of the day because I would just be in so much pain. And I also had persistent acne all over my back, and I started applying some of the concepts that I was learning and all of that disappeared. The energy came back, the stiffness went away. I'm now a morning person and, skin has improved. So all these things started getting much better. And so I really went down the rabbit hole with functional medicine. Learned about it, learned how to apply it, and then kind of learned the limitations of it as well. Because sometimes when you make something overly specific, you limit the number of people that you can help. So I realized that if people did even just 6 out of the 10 things that I tell them to do, they're going to get exceptional results and be way further ahead than where they are now. So I started really simplifying my process and then teaching that to other practitioners because I didn't want them to go through the same learning curve that I did. I didn't want them to go through the same arc of complexity, then realizing that simplicity is the answer. So I kind of shortcutted their path so that they're starting off with simplicity. And that gives them more certainty, more confidence, more scalability, and they can have a greater impact without having such a steep learning curve and without having to reinvent their treatment protocols with every single client. So, you know, I've been teaching that for the last few years, and it's been an evolving journey. I've picked up a few tools along the way, and I still don't know who and what I want to be when I grow up. So I'm just positioning myself as a student for life. And for the last few years, I've really gone deep down the breathwork rabbit hole. And, you know, breathwork, we can define that as something ceremonial, or we can define that as the thing that we're all doing right now, which is either consciously or unconsciously breathing. And so I focus on both ends of that spectrum. You know, how do we use breath as a ceremonial process where we can release trauma and rewrite some of our stories that aren't serving us? And how do we use breath in its most subtle form, which is how we breathe throughout our day and throughout our activities, and even as far as going to how we breathe while we're sleeping at night? So I really focus on how people breathe 24/7, because I feel like it's an extremely powerful tool. There's nothing simpler. So in my search for simplicity, I came across breathwork, and the light bulb just started going off. And just like there's an app for everything on your phone, there's a breath for everything that ails you. And so it's really cool. You can regulate your body temperature. You can regulate your heart rate. You can regulate blood flow to your digestive system. You can increase bone formation, which we'll talk about today. You can decrease bone formation also if you don't breathe correctly. So breath is really the steering wheel of our nervous system. And if I can control my nervous system, I can control every cell in my body. So it really becomes a steering wheel for our health. And so, yeah, so it's like once you learn this, it's hard to unsee it. And it's hard not to be excited about it every single time I talk about it. So thank you for asking me about this journey. And yeah, I'm excited for our conversation too.
Well, and let's maybe differentiate between breath work and meditation, because some people may hear those things and think, you know, one is the other. Is there a difference between the two? And if so, what is that?
Yeah, so meditation is a process of being observant of our thoughts and, you know, and trying to focus on a singular thing, right? You know, some people say meditation is focusing on nothing. I view it as focusing on whatever thoughts are boiling to the surface and viewing them as a train that's passing or a river that's flowing, right? Turning off our thoughts is impossible. However, so in knowing that, the goal is to be aware. So we can maximize awareness by using specific breathing patterns to shift the state that our brain is in. So if I'm breathing short, shallow breaths through my mouth, I'm going to be sending blood and information to my nervous system that is stress-based. And so my brain is going to be hyper-distractible, because now my brain is trying to navigate. All my senses become heightened. My visual field senses become heightened. My auditory senses become heightened. We become far more distractible when we're in a stressed out state, so to speak. So we can use breath to calm our nervous system down, kind of hit the brakes a little bit so that we're more observant as these thoughts are bubbling up to the surface or as they're flowing like the river. So they're both different things. However, when you breathe correctly, it makes the meditation much easier, and it makes the meditation much more meaningful as well.
And when we're talking about breathing correctly, we obviously have a mouth. We have nostrils. Some people breathe through their mouth. Some people breathe through their nose. What's the right way to breathe? And why would we want to breathe through one over the other?
Yeah, great question. So our mouth is the dirtiest part of our body. So that in and of itself should probably tell you that it's probably not meant to be a tool to breathe with. You know, when we are breathing in this so-called, you know, dirty air from our mouth, there's lots of bacteria that we're inhaling, which keeps our immune system kind of in a much more heightened state because it's got to deal with that bacteria that ends up in the lungs. The nose, however, is designed to be almost a sterile environment. So the lining of our nose is lined with a mucous membrane in conjunction with our oral bacteria, which produces nitric oxide. Nitric oxide kills viruses, bacteria, and on contact. So, you know, for example, our nose is designed to filter the air, temperature regulate the air, moisture regulate the air, and mechanically filter the air and bacterially and virally kill whatever is in there. So it's the exact opposite of breathing through your mouth from that perspective. When we breathe through our nose, we actually get 20% more oxygenation, and we're able to breathe 20% deeper without really creating much more effort. Now, some people might report, if they're consistent mouth breathers, they might report that it feels a little bit weird breathing through their nose. And the reason for that is because the nose is an organ just like anything else, if you don't use it, you lose it. So as you start increasing nasal breathing, people are going to find that the airway is going to start opening up. And so the reason to breathe through the nose, there's multiple reasons. One of them being that it's specifically designed for us to intake and expel air. It's designed to help us. It's designed to help us taste our food better. It's designed to, purify the air that's coming in. It's also designed to recapture moisture. So about 30 to 40% of the moisture that we breathe out is recaptured when we breathe through our nose versus breathing through our mouths. And then the other thing about breathing through our mouth consistently, right? You might occasionally breathe through your mouth if you're exercising, going for a run, being chased by someone or something, or playing with your kids, right? You might find yourself needing to breathe through your mouth. However, our daily breathing style and methodology should be through our nose as much as possible. So another fun fact is breathing through your mouth is the number one cause of cavities. Breathing through your mouth dries out your saliva. Your saliva is protective of your teeth. Breathing through your mouth also affects your taste buds. So people who are consistent mouth breathers, it requires more sugar in order for them to get a response. So for example, if somebody's a mouth breather and I'm breathing through my nose primarily, it's going to take less sugar to hit my sweet receptors. The threshold is much higher for somebody who's breathing through their mouth. So it's going to change the foods that people eat as well.
Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I want to take one more minute to talk about if you are somebody who was newly diagnosed with osteopenia or osteoporosis, and you're at a point where you're stressed, you're worried, you're overwhelmed, you have no idea where to start or how to get started getting confident in your plan, I want to tell you about the Stronger Bone Solution Program. Over 5,000 people have come through this Stronger Bone Solution Program, and it walks you through the exact process you need to fill in the missing pieces, uncover critical things in your plan that you may not be aware of, and help you make modifications, adjustments, and tweaks to get you to the place where you're building stronger bones. I want you to get confident in your plan so that you can focus on living life and enjoying the life that you deserve with the people you love most. So if that's where you want to be, head over to bonecoach.com/apply and apply for our Stronger Bone Solution Program right now. I'm Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I want to see you inside this program. I want to help you get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. Hope to see you inside very soon. Let's get back to the episode.
I think the times where people may think about breathing through their mouth the most would be number one, when they're exercising, and number two, while they're sleeping. So how do we navigate that if we're supposed to breathe through our nose, but we have this, this internal desire to, I have to get a breath through my mouth.
Mm-hmm. So there's three gears. So I'll address the exercise part of it first. So there's three gears of our breath when we're exercising. So gear number one is how we want to try to breathe as much as possible. That is in through the nose, out through the nose. And when we breathe in through the nose, we're going to get better oxygenation. When we breathe out through the nose, we're actually going to get more oxygen being dumped at the tissue level because it takes longer for us to exhale the air, which means there's more time for oxygen exchange to take place. And so breathing through our nose is the best way. If we slow down our exhale, then we actually increase oxygenation. So it's really counterintuitive. But what happens is with every breath we take, we breathe in about 500 milliliters with each breath. Each breath we take has more molecules of oxygen in it than all the grains of sand on the entire planet. So you're literally breathing in and out like trillions and trillions of molecules of oxygen, and not all of them get exchanged. So what happens is when we breathe in, only about 20 to 25% of the oxygen exchange takes place. So if we hold our exhale a little bit longer, there's more time for oxygen exchange to take place. It's also important for people to know why we breathe. So we don't breathe because we need more oxygen. The reason we breathe is because we can't tolerate the CO2 that's in our lungs. So our urge to breathe actually comes from an intolerance to CO2 as opposed to a desire for more oxygen. So you can actually dramatically slow down your exhales, and if you're wearing a pulse oximeter, you're going to notice that there's no change in your O2 saturation. So it's not oxygen that's being deprived, it's our intolerance to CO2. So you can actually do CO2 tolerance increasing exercises like nose plugs when you're going for a walk, or practice slowing down your exhale, or you can do Ujjayi breath, which is a breathing technique that slows down the exhale. You can also do extended humming, which slows down the exhale. there's different ways that we can build up our tolerance to CO2, which then is that first gear. So in and out through the nose. And you'd be shocked at how slowly you can breathe, even at a high activity level. It's uncomfortable, but it's kind of interesting. The next gear after that is breathing in through the nose, because we want to breathe in that pressurized air, and breathing out through the mouth as slowly as you can, okay? And then the third gear is breathing in and out through the mouth. And that's when you're like in a full out sprint, or, you know, if you're doing intense exercise, you know, it's okay to breathe that way. And then we want to work our way back through the gears. So going from in and out through the mouth, and then in through the nose, out through the mouth, and going then back to in and out through the nose.
Now, when I really started to pay attention to this, even a couple of years ago, I noticed that I was doing some mouth breathing, and I was doing some mouth breathing at night, and I was doing some mouth breathing when I was exercising. And one of the things is I have a very long, slender nose. And one of the reasons why I trained myself to breathe through my mouth is that every time I took a breath in through my nose, my nostrils would almost collapse. And it became very, very challenging for me to breathe in. And I know that a lot of people struggle with that. So what are some of the ways, I know I have some that I'll share in just a minute, but maybe what are some of the ways that you've seen people work around that?
Yeah, so there's appliances that you can use. One is called Mute, which is this little thing that goes up your nose, and it holds your, it prevents your nostrils from collapsing. My left nostril has a tendency to do that too if I'm doing intense breathing. The other thing, and this may be what you're alluding to as well, is a Breathe Right strip. So these are nasal strips that go across the top of your nose, non-invasively, it's an adhesive pad that pops out the nostrils so that your nasal passages stay as open as they can while you're breathing. So those are two ways that I'm aware of. And then some people, I haven't had a CAT scan of my head done, but I'm pretty sure I have a deviated septum. And so sometimes, depending on how significant it is, some people may need a kind of a surgical intervention to kind of clear up some of that space. Because if there's a physical obstruction, it's going to be really difficult for people to overcome that with a breathing strip or the nasal appliance.
Sure. And that's exactly what I did. I actually started with Breathe Right strips. I started with the nasal strips that expanded. I realized that my nose needed a little bit heavier duty measures than that. I found this thing called Intake. Now, I just came across this company recently, but basically what it does, it has these, and by the way, this is not a plug for them. I think the thing is really interesting. It has these like little magnets that you can put on the sides of your nose, and it's a little strip. And then you take this little bar, and it's got magnets on the side of the bar, and you put it on your nose, and it pulls your nostrils out. Oh. And I started using this while I was working out and running too, and I can completely breathe through my nose and do like really intense workouts and stuff. It's really interesting. And I do it while I sleep also. And the other
How big is the magnet?
It's a smaller size magnet, definitely smaller than a dime, but it fits on the side of your nose.
Wow.
But then the other thing is at nighttime, right? How can we prevent ourselves from breathing through our mouths at night? Because we may have that, our body may just naturally do that, right?
Yeah, great question. So about 65% of people breathe through their mouth at night. So it's about 2/3 of people. So it's a very prevalent issue. Some people may have obstructive apnea. Some people may simply be mouth breathers. And some people may have kinked airways or weakened airways that cause them to have breathing difficulties while they sleep. So depending on what their starting point is, one of the things that we suggest is people consider mouth taping at night. And that's just it's just a 3M micropore tape that looks like this. And you just put a vertical strip over your lips. Works with people who have facial hair as well. And that'll keep your mouth in a closed position while you're sleeping. And that'll force you to breathe in and out through your nose. You're not taping your mouth shut, for those of you that are claustrophobic. So that's not the goal. It's just to keep your jaw in that closed position. Some people might wear a jaw cradle, which is something that they can use as well that keeps their jaw in a closed position. But that's one of the keys is if we can keep our mouth closed. Now, you may have to work your way up to that if you're not used to breathing through your nose. So it might be 5 minutes while you're on the computer, work up to half an hour, work up to a nap, and then work up to breathing with the mouth tape on at night. So that's a great way that can be very beneficial for people. Now, another thing to keep in mind is apnea is something that we want to be mindful of, and it's not uncommon for people with metabolic challenges like osteoporosis to have apnea related or type of issues. And so one of the things that we recommend, there's three key things that we recommend. One of them is mouth taping at night. The other one is laying on your side when you're sleeping, so your airway is less likely to collapse. And the third one is using a latex pillow. So a latex pillow is a very supportive type of pillow that is a natural material, so it's organic, and it doesn't get squished at night. So it's a much more comfortable pillow for those of you that are side sleepers. We recommend sleeping on your side because it keeps your airways nice and open, whereas when you sleep on your back, your airway can get kinked. There are, for people with severe apnea or snoring challenges, things like that, there are ways that you can do tongue exercises, and stretches to actually open up the airways as well. So we will recommend that to people at times.
Now, are there specific breath work exercises? I know we talk about bone health and osteoporosis a lot with our audience because that's their primary concern and focus. But are there specific ways of breathing that could help somebody support their bone health?
Yeah, absolutely. So part of this is like connecting the dots, and it's hard to find studies where they've spent millions of dollars kind of studying cohorts of people about how breathing affects bone density. So part of it is really connecting the dots and understanding what happens when we breathe and what signals are being triggered, and then correlating that to bone health. So it's not a stretch by any means of the imagination. It's just really connecting the dots. So one of the things that we're all pretty clear on is that high stress increases cortisol production, puts us in a catabolic state and catabolic means we're breaking down versus being in an anabolic state, which is a state of growth. So if we can find a way of breathing that shifts us from that breakdown, meltdown state of function to a building state of function, then that's a great place to start. And what's cool is there's breathing techniques that can lower cortisol production. And when we lower cortisol production and shift ourselves into that parasympathetic state, then not only is there a greater propensity for bone density increase and bone building, but there's also every cell, tissue, and organ in your body starts getting healthier when we shift into that state. So there's a few ways to do that. The simplest way is to lengthen your exhale. So if you're breathing in for 4 seconds in, you can breathe out for 5 seconds, 6 seconds, 7 seconds, 8 seconds. So anything you do to lengthen the exhale is going to help shift you into more of a parasympathetic state. Some people might consider box breathing. So box breathing is breathing in for 4 seconds, holding for 4 seconds, exhaling for 4 seconds, holding for 4 seconds, and then repeating that pattern. And if you do that for about 5 minutes, you're going to feel a pretty significant shift in your physiology and your mental state. There's also other ways that we can shift somebody from a fight or flight state into a calmer rest and digest state. And that is to use something called a physiologic sigh. And maybe we can try that right now, as a quick demo. So I'll walk you through it, Kevin, and then you can demo it for us as I walk you through it. So the invitation is to sit up nice and straight. And with the tongue at the roof of the mouth, we're going to take a nice deep breath in through the nose. And then at the very top, fill your lungs, take 2 more sips of air with your mouth, like that, and just 1 more, and hold at the top. And then before you let it out, keep holding. You're going to let it out with an exaggerated sigh. So you're going to let it all the way out, an audible sigh coming out through your mouth. So go ahead and release. There you go. Let's do that 1 more time. Tongue at the roof of the mouth. Nice breath in. Couple more sips at the top. There we go. And hold it. And release in 3, 2, 1. Audible sigh. Okay. So repeating that, anywhere from 3 to 10 times is going to really shift your physiological state. And we kind of do this naturally. So there's different forms of breath work that we do without knowing we're doing breath work. One of them is sighing. So when we feel a sense of relief, we actually sigh. So we can actually initiate that same physiological response by doing it consciously instead of doing it unconsciously. Another form of breath work is laughing. So if you think about it, there's treatments like laughing yoga where people start, they ask you to just start laughing, right? That's the exercise. You start laughing. And if you think about it, you're really exercising your diaphragm when you're laughing. You're really giving yourself a pretty good breath work workout, if you will. Your stomach can start hurting, right? You're just in stitches, they say. And so what happens is after people start doing that, their physiology actually starts changing and then they start laughing for real. So their breathing is actually creating the chemistry in their body, which is creating the emotion that they're trying to elicit. Another form of breath work is crying. So when people are sobbing, that's a form of breath work. It's a way of releasing trauma and energy. So when a child is crying, we don't want to tell them to stop, because what we're doing is we're telling them to bottle up those emotions. That's what happens when they gasp, right? Gasping is a form of breath work. So when we start kind of paying attention to what we're doing and the emotions that these type of breathing, you know, these unconscious breathing patterns trigger, we start realizing, oh my God, like how many times have I told my kid to stop crying? Like I've done that, right? And so instead, why don't we let them release, right? When you see a hyena in the wild or an animal in the wild that's being chased by a lion or a tiger or whatever, if it is lucky enough to escape, one of the things that it does is it goes and finds a safe corner and it literally starts convulsing. And what that does is it uses that opportunity to release all those stress hormones that are being produced. We don't do that as humans, right? We are kind of forced sometimes to bottle it all up, and it gets stored as pain. It gets stored as limiting beliefs. It gets stored as a language or a dialogue that we have with ourselves that isn't serving us. And then it sometimes shows up as chronic illness and disease. And we can try to do all the magical stuff, you know, on paper, that it's not gonna do anything to fix it. So, you know, not to get too off tangent here, but I think that there's so many different ways that we breathe already that can be very therapeutic, and we can lean into them once we understand the benefits of them.
And you don't have to be an experienced person like with formal training to be able to sit down and use some of these techniques. I think sometimes when people approach new health things, there might be a little bit of skepticism, a little bit of unfamiliarity, and will this actually work for me? And until you actually just sit down and try it and do some of these things, you're not going to know, right? So I always encourage people, just try it, because there's really no risk to it. It's free. And who knows, like I'm a perfect example of if you would have told me 10, 12 years ago, maybe even longer than that, that meditation and breath work would be like daily parts of my life now, I would not believe you. I used to kind of laugh at that mm-hmm. and just think, oh, that's silly. You know, I could never get my mind still just even for a few minutes. But once you can, it can be one of the most powerful tools in your own health.
I 100% agree with you. You know, and I just wanted to button up that last answer about how do we breathe to increase our own density or really improve our health is the real question. And the way I encourage people to breathe throughout the day is something called coherence breathing or coherent breathing. And that's where we're breathing in and out for 6 seconds. So the inhale is 6 seconds, the exhale is 6 seconds. And some people will ask, so that's the cadence, right? The next question is, where do we breathe through? That's through our nose. Where is our tongue? The tongue is at the roof of our mouth, gently at the roof of our mouth, tip of the tongue behind the front two teeth. That actually closes an energy center that calms us down. And I'll talk about that in a second. And the third thing is the depth. So we don't take deep breaths with every single breath. It's a calm, relaxed inhale and exhale. And I would say you're filling your lungs up about 20%. Your lungs have about 5 liters, right? And so 20% would be about a liter. The average person breathes about half a liter.
Well, that's great. And then in terms of, I don't know if you could maybe even, do you want to walk us through like what a little breathing activity might be like? I know we just did a sigh, but is there another maybe technique or something that you could walk us through to give us an example, or maybe even just 30 to 60 seconds where we could walk through that?
Yeah, I mean, we could do the coherence breathing. The coherence breathing is a breathing technique that is really simple. We're putting our tongue at the roof of our mouth so we can just sit up nice and straight. And this is a technique that I encourage people to do, you know, with their eyes open or closed. You can do this while you're driving. You can do this while you're meditating. You can use this breathing technique while you're out for a walk. You can do it while you're checking your email. So this is a generally good breathing technique to keep us in what we call a state of coherence. And when we're in coherence, then our heart and our brain are connected. So we do better work, we do more inspired work, and it comes from our heart center. So sitting up nice and straight or whatever position you're in, I'm going to keep my eyes open, tongue at the roof of the mouth, and we're going to breathe in for a count of 6, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Inhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wonderful. So you can feel that in just a short period of time, it really calms you. And if you want to go deeper into a state of calmness, then closing your eyes is going to make a big difference as well. And I should mention where and what we're breathing into. So really we're breathing into our belly and a little bit into our lungs, but mostly into our belly. We don't want to be breathing. You'll see sometimes people are breathing in through their shoulders. And you know that can be a bad habit because we're using the wrong muscles to facilitate our breathing. It could also be an indication of a weak diaphragm. So, you know, strengthening the diaphragm could be an important exercise for people.
I heard you talk about already a bit about stress, like why stress is not good for bone health and how you can use breath work as a tool to help support that. Are there other areas of our health, maybe even specifically related to bones, that we can influence using our breath?
Yeah. I mean, going, you know, from a 30,000 foot view, you know, one of the things that's really important for our bones is minerals. And, you know, absorbing those minerals through nutrition is absolutely critical, even through our supplementation, if we're taking any. And in order for that to happen, we have to make enough stomach acid. And so a lot of times what we find is our clients oftentimes will have something called an autonomic mismatch. And what that means is that their autonomic nervous system, which is the part of our nervous system that is taking care of my breathing right now, my heart rate right now, my digestion, my bone building, all that stuff that's happening in the background is happening as a result of this beautiful, wonderful system that we have called the autonomic nervous system. Now, when we're in a state of fight or flight, there's an 80% decrease of blood flow to our digestive system. And so, interestingly enough, it takes about building stomach acid is a million times, so your stomach acid rather is a million times more acidic than your blood. So it takes a lot of energy and intention for your stomach to make stomach acid. And it doesn't do that very well if you're in a fight or flight type of state, because fight or flight is sending blood to your arms and legs, whereas rest and digest is sending blood to your trunk organs. So when we are in a state of fight or flight or in a stress state while we're eating, we're oftentimes not chewing our food. We're not being mindful. We're not being present. We're not making stomach acid, which means we're not absorbing, you know, minerals in particular from the food that we're eating. We're also promoting, you know, maldigested food promotes inflammation in the bowel, which then creates all kinds of malabsorption type of issues and inflammation in the body. So that puts us in this persistent low-grade inflammatory fight or flight response. And that affects multiple systems in our body, including bone health. So something as simple as, you know, doing some coherence breathing, intentional coherence breathing for 2 to 3 minutes before we eat, intentionally sending blood flow, you know, to our digestive organs, and then enjoying that meal that we're having, ensuring that we're chewing it purposefully and intentionally and completely, and then, you know, swallowing it so that our stomach acid can do its job. You know, so something as simple as breathing before we eat down the line affects not only bone health, but many other systems in our body.
What about with pain? Like some of the people that have, you know, that have osteoporosis, they may have pain in different areas of their body. They may have joint pain or something like that. Can breathing help with pain management?
You know, I can't say that I've experienced that personally, but I do know there are breathing techniques that can be helpful for reducing pain. So one of the things that it's important to notice whenever we're in fight or flight, if you think about how we breathe when we're in pain, it's not slow, it's not rhythmic, it's usually through our mouth. So I always encourage people to ask themselves, you know, how they breathe when unconsciously when they're feeling a certain way. So if when you're in pain, you're kind of gasping. When you're in pain, you're taking short, shallow breaths. If you do the opposite, then we're flipping the switch on the nervous system to go in a different direction. And when we, you know, our mind is interesting because it can only really focus on one thing at a time. So if we can draw our attention into our breath, then the pain seems to kind of disappear in the background. So I know people that use breathing techniques to reduce their pain. And part of that is really getting intentional and focusing and going inwards on their breath and slowing down, right? Our sense of pain is also heightened when we're in a fight or flight response.
One of the things that I wanted to make sure I touched on with you was, and I mentioned this at the beginning, is that Sachin specifically has really had an impact on me I've done some of Sachin's breath work before. And one of the things that I've worked through and throughout my life has been some things from my childhood, specifically relating to abusive relationship and the loss of my father and, you know, my kids and things like that. And there's a lot there to unpack. And I did a breath work with Sachin, maybe it was, I don't know, 2 years ago, it was maybe the first one, but I've progressively been doing these exercises with Sachin, and they've just helped me tremendously. I remember the first big breakthrough I had after one of these breathwork sessions. How long are your breathwork sessions typically that you kind of walk people through?
Yeah, about 60 to 75 minutes.
Okay, so this was a longer one. So this is advanced, a little more advanced, but we had finished this up, and by the end of it, I was, you know, sobbing uncontrollably. My shirt was soaked. And throughout this entire experience, I was able to see myself. I was like looking inside. I was able to see myself sitting in the middle of a room after I had my stepfather had just kicked me. And I had I was kind of reliving that experience. And my kids walked into that room. And they wrapped their arms around me, gave me a hug, and they told me everything was going to be okay. And that alone was a very positive and profound experience for me. But then what happened was we all got up together and we went to other kids that were feeling that exact same way and gave them a hug and let them know they were okay. And that was like, when I had that experience after breath work, I knew this was going to be a big healing tool for me. And I know for a lot of people that are listening, there may be some trauma there that they have in their lives. And I gave the personal share to kind of lead into, how does trauma play into this as well? Like, can we use breath work as a tool to help with that?
Yeah, you know, it's thank you for sharing, by the way. I appreciate you being vulnerable, and that kind of opens the door up for other people to, you know, to be vulnerable as well, especially with ourselves, and be forgiving of ourselves. And a lot of times, you know, something like what you experienced has nothing to do with you. It may feel like that in the moment, but it has more to do with the person, you know, administering the pain, if you will, because as we all know, hurt people, and usually hurt people are hurt by somebody else. So it's this generational thing. So I'm so grateful that you were able to kind of see that light and to have your kids there kind of holding you and supporting you and then paying that forward. I mean, that really tells me a lot about who you are. Like, the core of who you are is you're such a giver, which I appreciate. You know, when I started doing the elemental rhythm breathwork experience, it was actually because I had one of my most moving experiences, which is I was able to kind of relive my first breath. And I was like, wow, this is a really cool experience. My parents were holding me in their hands. I could see their faces. They're just in awe, just like I was when I held my son for the first time. So being able to relive that was quite magical for me. And I realized that when we use our breath to create an altered state, if you will, we use breath to increase DMT, which is what we refer to as a God molecule. And then you can use guided meditation and music to start time traveling. And we can go to specific times in our lives, you know, times when we felt immense gratitude and times when we felt immense pain and and we can start rewriting those stories, right? We can start feeling, you know, the embodiment of gratitude, and then taking that gratitude to past experiences that we've had. And really it starts opening up, you know, ourselves to opportunities for growth. When we breathe using this methodology, we're taking people through a variety of different cadences of breathing. And so we're activating parts of their brain that may be dormant in some cases, and we're just hyper-connecting everything. And so it's a wonderful experience to be able to rewrite some stories, to relive some stories, but then also to rewrite them. And many times people will start seeing elegant solutions to challenges that they're facing. So even if somebody doesn't have trauma, maybe the intention that they put into the breathing ceremony is like, hey, I have this problem. How do I solve it? And, you know, your brain knows the answer. You just have to connect all the parts of your brain together, and breathing can help us do that.
Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of The Bone Coach Show. If you're finding it helpful, please leave a positive rating and review, hit that like button, subscribe to the podcast or the channel. That lets us help more people and reach and serve more people. And it also lets us know that this is helpful to you on your journey to better health and stronger bones. And then also, right down in the show notes, you can actually find a link to my free Bone Healthy Recipes Guide. That's going to give you access to some amazing and delicious recipes to support your journey to stronger bones. And then also, we have a link to my free Stronger Bones Masterclass in the show notes too. And that is the three-step process that has helped people in over 1,500 cities around the world get confident in their plan for stronger bones. Over 110,000 people have taken part in this, and it's been really, really helpful for them. And I want you to have free access to it too. So add your name and email right down there in the show notes, get access to that free Stronger Bones Masterclass, and let's get you confident in your Stronger Bones plan today.
And there's a spectrum too. So like what Sasha initially started out with was he started out with some of the smaller, more near-term things like that are very short that you can do while you're sitting in your car at the stoplight, right? Or while you're sitting at home, and all it takes is six seconds in, 6 seconds out. But as you progress and you gain an appreciation for your breathing, and maybe you want to get a little more advanced, there are things beyond that that can help you break through, have different health breakthroughs, and even emotional, spiritual, physical breakthroughs beyond just that. So just like with anything else in your health, you might just need to expand your awareness a little bit more because there might be something else there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that. There's a story that I love to share because it's kind of neat. And, you know, it's actually somebody that we both know, but I won't mention any names for privacy. You know, this is a person who was in a car accident. And after she was in the car accident, she started developing, you know, neurological issues in her right arm. And during the breath work that we did together, her right arm started shaking uncontrollably. And not her left arm, okay, her right arm started shaking uncontrollably. And the message that she got from the arm was that there was nothing wrong with me, because she was trying to blame her arm for not working properly. But at a subconscious level, she hated her job. She was a surgeon at the time. She didn't want to do that anymore. And so the accident was a way for her to give herself that rationale. So not to be a surgeon anymore, but had nothing to do with her arm. It was a story that she had told herself. And so her arm woke back up again during that breathwork session, gave her kind of a clear message. And it was just like a profound shift for her, you know, to realize that. And so many of us, we might be burying emotions, or we might be telling ourselves a story that isn't serving us or isn't serving our body. And, you know, the breathing ceremony can be a great way to rewrite that story.
That's beautiful. And I know you and I share very similar perspective in terms of health. You actually said this right before we started chatting too, but maybe you can elaborate on this just for a minute before we close out and let people know where they can find you, which was, you like to focus on creating health, right? Creating the positive versus preventing or avoiding the negative. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, great question. So think about it this way. When you are going somewhere, like we're both traveling here soon, and if you're going somewhere that you haven't been before, you put in exactly where you want to go. You don't put in all the places you don't want to go, hoping that you get where you want to be. So if I'm going to put something into my GPS, I put the exact address and I create a path to get there versus preventing all the other places I don't want to be. So when it comes to health, you know, that's most people's strategy, right? And that's been ingrained into us. The things that we prevent, we actually give energy to. So if somebody says, I'm preventing cancer, what are they giving energy to? They're giving energy to cancer because our brain can't think in negatives. If I say, don't think of a pink elephant, that's the only thing that you can think of right now. It's an impossible thing for you not to think of because your brain is being triggered. So focus on what you want instead of what you don't want, because you always create what you don't want. Your brain is always looking for it. So why not focus on what you want to create? And that's really what I'd love to help people do, is kind of shift their narrative. I don't like the word prevention for that very reason, because it's almost like it's an oppressive word, and people don't realize linguistically what they're doing to sabotage themselves.
I love that. I love that. And let's talk about, where can people find you? I think this is, you're an amazing resource to have. Let's make sure we link to the resources that you've got and where people can find you in the show notes too.
Yeah, thank you. So definitely people can find me on Facebook and Instagram. And we also have a very special, you know, tool that we've created for our communities, and specifically for people who want to know more about how to be healthy. And it's a 30-day program called 30 Ways in 30 Days. And essentially what I did is I put the 30 things that I want every person to know who's going to work with me about their health. And most of the times when they do those 30 things, they don't need me, because their issues can a lot of times be self-resolving. So it's a great way for people to get started. It's simple things that they can do. We capitalize on what we call the compound effect. It's things that you're already doing with a little bit more awareness, just like breathing. We're all breathing every day. We can do it with more awareness. We're all thinking. We can think with more awareness. We all go to the bathroom every day. We could do it with more awareness. So just adding more awareness in these 30 different areas in our life feels like you're not doing anything, but so many things are starting to change in your body when you start doing these microscopic changes. So it's a absolutely free program, and it's our gift to everyone who's interested in really taking a holistic, health-centered, health-focused approach where they get to become their own doctor instead of constantly seeking answers outside of them.
I love that. Sachin, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. You're just an amazing person, great resource, and I really appreciate all you've done for me personally, but also for sharing what you shared with our audience today. So for everybody listening, you can find all the resources, show notes, everything mentioned today over at bonecoach.com/Sachin Patel. Breathwork, bone health. I want to thank you again so much for your time. We'll see you in the next episode.
Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Hope you found that episode helpful and that you enjoyed it. Just one last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. It's going to tell you everything you need to do to start getting on the path to improvement. Hope you found this helpful. I'm your Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. I'll see you soon.